Hey everybody, and welcome back for another episode of The Overlay, a poker podcast, brought to you by, exclusively today.
Oof, I love it.
By CCG Poker. That's it. I only feel that's it because I promised I would say I would pay for part of it, and that would be the company. And then this is mostly about Team CCG, so I figure episode 56, we're going to just straight up go, this is sponsored by CCG Poker. The WSOP episode, the acronym episode, only using acronyms to T-A-L-K, today.
This is going to be tough. You're going to have to play that game. I'm out on that. Once we start talking poker hands, I'll just go U-T-G, the C/O and the B-T-N. We'll talk like that. But
nice, oof. Nice. No cap, Brandon. I don't really.
No cap.
Did I use that right?
Not really.
Just like when a player says I got stacked or I stacked off a guy.
I don't understand how this isn't confused. No, stacked off a guy isn't like a poker phrase. It's either I got stacked, meaning my stack is gone, or I stacked someone, meaning their stack is gone. And I get how you can, like, so a stacked does mean you lost it all or right. You doubled up, depending on the context of the way you
I don't like
stacked.
It. I don't like it. But anyway,
I stacked off means you got your stack in and lost.
Right. I think you're a stack off. Anyways,
thanks.
Episode 56. I'm your host with the most, the captain of Team CCG, regardless of what anybody says.
Yep.
I'm joined Ken. That's me, Ken.
Well, you know, you do have a circuit final table, and nobody else on Team CCG does.
So. True, I got second. I'm like the PLO tournament guy. Brandon's like everything else. So unless you're looking to play a PLO tournament only, not cash game, just tournament, this is the difference. then I'm your guy. Other than that, I'm not the expert in anything other than golf. If there was a golf portion of poker, I'd be in.
Yeah.
And we're joined today by Brando, the only paid professional poker player on Team CCG at the moment. We're looking for more, so if you guys want to get in on this.
Right, the bar's obviously pretty low.
Yeah. If I'm the captain and Brandon's the first mate, we're probably good. You guys could jump in here. So get in on it. Let's know if you want to be thought of or not acknowledged, but... If you want to be like scouted, you got to let us know. So we'll go from there. Today we want to talk about, in all seriousness, although we are going to talk about Team CCG, we want to talk about Brandon's main event run. Today is middle of November. What's the date today?
15th? November 16th.
16th. Today's the 16th. I think Brandon and I just recapped that at the time of this recording, which is Tuesday around lunchtime, they just got to a final table of the main event, so they're at the final nine. The November nine is back. It's
so
just
spoiler alert.
There's no
I
break.
Didn't make the final table.
No, Brandon did not make the final table. But a couple of things I want to go over. Brandon's Twitter takeover was a massive hit. Got us a ton of new followers, a ton of new people on Instagram, a ton of new people on Facebook. Even though it had nothing to do with any of those things, it was just Brandon on Twitter. But it was great, like the reach and the number of players that like reached out and were like, oh, Brandon, go get him. There were a lot of let's go Brandon comments, which I thought was great that people were supporting you. Has nothing to do with anything else, which was awesome. It was your first main event tournament, yeah?
First of things.
Was it your first WSOP experience in Las Vegas?
No.
I
did go to the WSOP in 2011 when I turned 21.
Okay.
And me and my boy Jimmy got our full tilt money. We got that paid to us.
Oh, nice. Forgot about that. I do remember that. Do you remember that? And you played some events, but you obviously didn't play the main event.
No. We played a couple 1500s, and that was
nice.
It.
Anything happened then?
I was chip leader in a 1500 near the dinner break of day one, and then I didn't cash. And Jimmy wasn't very happy with me. And then we flew home on Spirit Airlines in silence and didn't talk for a week.
Spirit Airlines is rough. As a poker player, as a businessman, as just a person on the planet Earth, Spirit might be the worst experience of all time. Like, if you want to go to the bathroom, you have to put a quarter into the door to get it to open.
It's basically like Aldi.
Yeah.
Well, Aldi it's before cheap. They improved.
Don't get me wrong. Like, you can Aldi fly before they improved. For like $50 round trip from Chicago
so
to Las Vegas.
You have to pay for your seat. You're going to have to pay for yeah. Your do, leg room. You're
do you want a seatbelt?
For your pack.
Do you want a seatbelt? Oh, yeah. You got to get that. Oh, do you want air? Yeah. You're going to have to pay for that. Do you want to use a light? Yeah, it costs 12 cents a minute. Bathroom, right. You got to pay for. Drinks.
In-flight internet doesn't exist.
Drinks are a joke. Yeah, you have to unload the plane at the end. Otherwise, right.
I mean, the luggage for Spirit Airlines Flight 411 is now on the runway for
right.
you guys
to
sort through.
Get your shit or we're going to sell it on eBay. It's very true.
But yeah, that was my first experience. And I remember going there with about $400 in my pocket and a $300 limit credit card that I had about
nice.
$180 left. And
oh,
we stayed at Excalibur for $20 a night.
Yes.
And
yes. Feed me.
Yeah.
Love it.
A little different experience.
If you as a poker player, I just think it's something in all people's lives. Like, you appreciate things so much more. If you do something like that where you go and you try to like make a go of something, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be poker, but for a lot of us it's poker, right? Like, if you don't go to Vegas or Reno or wherever Texas now, you know, some kind of poker place where you can play poker a lot, there's a lot of action going on excuse me, and you're not literally checking your like First National credit card or whatever it is. Like, remember those really bust out, like they always have yep. cool names like First Premier. Like, you're not the first or the premier anything. And my credit limit's $279. But I had one of those in college. And it's like, I got to call and find out what the limit on it is so I can find out if I could pay this bar tab that I already ran up. Like, it's like a rite of passage as a poker player. Like, you got to hit bottom. So, I mean, when you play in the early bird and you win a $500 for first place, you're going, man, I appreciate this so much more. Because I remember the days when I had to figure out how I was going to pay that $20 room at the Luxor. What was it called?
Me, I stayed at Excalibur.
Excalibur, that's even worse.
Last time. Yeah. And I mean, I remember that like the buy-in to the 1500 was like more money than I had in my life. It was like more than my life for life.
Right.
How much of your bankroll is this, sir? Well, it's 141% of my bankroll.
I had to borrow money to get into this.
Yeah, like, I put up 300 and then Jimmy's staking me for 1200 here. And that's the only reason I'm ever even here.
Oh,
but anyways, yeah. So this time, a little different.
That was your first experience, Spirit Air.
And it was like 4 days after I turned 21.
Oh,
I remember
nice.
I could have been the youngest bracelet winner ever if I won the event.
Oh,
and
really?
So that was, yeah.
That's kind of like, awesome.
It was. That's kind of like was my like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go like, you know, 21 years and like 3 months is the record. So I was like, I could be 21 years and 4 days.
That would be tough just because like it's your birthday. Like it would be
right.
hard to miss that.
Right. Plus, you have to have like the right birthday for it to happen.
That's what I mean. Like, you got to have like a late
birthday
June
in December. You're drawn dead.
Yeah, I could be like the youngest 40-year-old to win a
40-year-old's
July 2nd.
Anymore.
Yeah. All right. So enough about your shitty first experience at the WSOP. Now you knew or know. Now that we're let's rewind. Let's go back in time a little bit. We're going to talk about Brando's. What gave you the idea to go out there? Because you and I said we were going to go. Obviously, that was when we thought it was going to be in the summer. It got postponed.
So honestly,
November's
like
not
what?
A time that I could go. There was a lot of vaccine and mask stuff. So like I had written it off as like we're not going. What gave you like the little fire to say, you know what,
so
I'm going to do this?
We talked about it on here like a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And people had mentioned it. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, just like you don't really think you're going to do it. It's like, yeah, I'm probably going to go. Well, then I went down to Southern Illinois, CCG in Tuscola.
Nice.
And I walked in there for the first time in like a year and a half, you know, and like really like nobody even like recognized me with my hair. And, you know, like they're like, oh, is that Brandon? Like I haven't seen you in forever. And then, you know, a random dude just like sat at my table and was like, hey, man, you going to go out to the main event? Like I've been listening to you on the podcast. Like, and like, really? I had kind of no intentions of doing it. Like 10,000 is a little bit of a stretch. Going to Vegas in November is a little bit of a stretch. You know,
it is. It's a tough time to go. You know,
it was just a lot of like little things that were like, do I really want to put up 10K? Not really, but I mean, I will. And it's like, do I really want to go out in November? I mean, not really, but I will. And then, you know, it was literally that guy that he was just like, hey, man, you're going to go play the main, right? And then another guy was like, yeah, I heard on the podcast you're going to go play the main. And I kind of just like felt like obligated or like not bad, but like I was like, shit, like these random dudes I haven't seen in a year and a half are like thinking I'm going to go play and like excited for me to go play. I was like, screw it, I'm going to go play. Like that was literally just it. I was like, and I instantly, you know, talked to a dude that has a lot of horses and he's like, I'll buy 20%. Just go. I was like, all right, well, if you're buying 20%, I can sell off another 10%, get into this thing for 7,000 and, you know, take a little bit of the burden off the buy-in and, you know, go out there and do it. And it was kind of then the second thing that kind of really, I was like, I'm going to do this. And I looked, I was like, ooh, I'd have to leave, miss 2 weekends at TCG, still some logistical stuff. Then they opened up 2 additional flights on Monday and Tuesday, flight 1E and 1F, because the travel bans opened up from internationally to come into America. So that kind of gave me the, oh, well, I can leave on Sunday after TCG, get there on Monday, play on Tuesday. Now, like, this is kind of lining up where now it's really doable because the days are right. And so that, though, the combination of the people down south really excited for me to play, even though I hadn't shown my face to them in 2 years, plus them opening up a couple extra day ones, I was like, screw it, I'm doing it.
I love it.
That's how I decided.
And then,
weirder. For you guys that don't know me, right. I don't play Hold'em really.
No.
And I don't really play tournaments. Yeah. And when I say that, I mean, I've played maybe 10 1600s in my life.
Quadrant from like PLO to No Limit Hold'em, cash games or tournaments, if they were like on the X and Y diagram here, right. Kenny falls
in the PLO cash games.
And I fall very much into PLO tournament. I like that. I feel comfortable there. And then again, my second most comfortable place would be PLO cash game. After that, like I'm really, yeah. So it's weird for you to be a PLO cash game player only to play in a tournament where you only get 2 cards,
right?
Makes for a big change.
And it's the best players in the world. It goes more than that.
It's the main event. So it's the biggest poker tournament in the world. It's the wildest poker tournament in the world in the sense that it's almost 7,000 people this year, 6,700 or something like that.
6,650.
Okay, 6,650. 2 hour blind levels, and the structure is meant to be extremely deep, extremely slow, and with all intents and purposes, it's a $10,000 buy-in. Like, that's a huge nut. You better be getting. I mean, people are always like, "Man, why is the early bird structure like you should give us more chips?" And I'm always like, "We do. You got to pay more money for it. Like, you got to play the 40." Or the hundreds, like you can't, or a $60 tournament on Saturday, you can't expect to get the $100 deep stack, you know, structure which for a 1 day tournament is a phenomenal structure. You're not going to get that for the early bird prize. So it's kind of the same deal. Like you're expecting to play and do it, but like how prepared were you to be able to play several days?
So the like hours actually didn't really, I was fine with that.
The hours, like, what do you mean, like the times of day?
Yeah, like the amount of time played was fine. I was just like, the structure's built for good players.
Yeah.
And like being one of, well, you know, I'll get into that when we start talking about the days and stuff, but like it really depended on which table I was at, but I really consider myself one of the weaker players at most of the tables I played at. And so like, you know, I was trying to like spin it in my head as like a positive thing. Like, all right, this structure's good. Like, but really, like in all reality, if you're the first, second, or third worst player at the table, the structure's better for everybody else than it is for you.
It is.
Like,
I mean,
it's almost like I would not rather, but like, I think I have a better chance of winning if we're doing 4 minute blinds and we're just going to push shove and
me too.
Do a lot of 60-40s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, I was trying to like in my head feel like, oh, this is a positive thing, but really, it wasn't so much, but I mean, it was,
it allows for the better players. I tell this to people all the time. And you mentioned Central Illinois, and we'll kick back to Texas too, for the stack tournament that they do for the first of the month, every month, the first Saturday of the month, every month in Texas. It's the same deal. Like you get 40K chip stacks, you get these super deep levels. Theirs obviously are one day tournaments, so they're 20 to 30 minute levels, whereas the main event, you're talking about 2 hour levels. But you can't blame the structure on your ability or inability to cash in the event. Like, it's not. You can blame the early bird structure for not cashing
the
early bird.
Sometimes there's just nothing you can do. I mean, you can double up every single level, and it's just sometimes still not enough in the bird.
It's just, it's one of those things. If you play in a big bird where it's, you know, 80 players kind of thing, Black Friday kind of thing, which is coming up very soon. In Chicago, and actually Texas, we're gonna promote a bigger Black Friday tournament. Like, they normally do a 1K guarantee, we're gonna do like a 4K guarantee, so it should be awesome. But anyways,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, so trying to do like the same thing. And actually Central Illinois this year has a big Black Friday event in Mattoon. So Black Friday is now officially going to be the biggest event for Team CCG in general and Paramount reciprocally. Is that a word?
I don't know. You were mumbling.
Yeah, but I just said it really fast. It's like, if you don't know how to say something, just like mumble it, and then nobody, like, they just fill in the blanks in their own head.
Reciprocally?
Yeah, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Reciprocally?
You can blame when you play in a, you know, because what do we get? We'll probably get like 400 entrants in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Which will be the biggest of the three. We'll get 400 players. Like, by the time you get like an hour after the break, like, I mean, you're probably at that point, if you haven't gone on a crazy, you know, bust out a bunch of players, you're going to be at like 8 or 10 or 12 big blinds pretty fast. Like, that's just the way it is. That's the structure of the tournament, right? Like, it's quicker, it's faster.
You never feel great with your chip stack. No. Even as soon as you feel great, 12 minutes later, the blinds are going up and you're not great anymore.
Yep.
But that's how it has to be.
Yeah, you go card dead for like a half an hour, you lose three levels, and the next thing you know, you're like, shit, I just went from a pretty comfortable stack to like, I'm down to like 10 big blinds.
Yeah.
8 big blinds. And then it's like the blinds coming up. So you're forced to play faster. Whereas in the main event, that's not really the case, is it? I mean, it is, but it's just,
it's a different
experience because it's so long, right?
Yeah.
So you drove, which I want to mention quickly.
I did drive.
You drove. How was that?
I had a blast.
It was fun, huh?
It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
We lost once. We ran out of gas.
You ran out of gas?
We almost ran out of gas in Utah in the desert. It was great. We did stop in Denver for a quick lunch with my boy Jimmy, who is the same person that put me in the tournament 10 years prior.
Nice. 10 years later.
Uh-huh.
Did you buy his lunch or did he buy you?
We credit card roulette it.
Nice.
Because we both were insistent on paying. And of course, I lost that flip. You know, great.
What a great way to settle who's going to pay for dinner when everybody wants to pay for dinner. Because like, I'm a big wee on dick. I got to pay for dinner. I do that a lot. But
you know, he was like treating it as like I was seeing him, and I was treating it as like, nah, man.
No, I invited you. Like, right. No, it's cool.
And then I had, you know, Allison with me too, so it was kind of like my two versus his one.
Credit card roulette is like one of my favorite things to do. So, anyways, I mean, you saw Jimmy.
And if it's too big, you do like credit card roulette, and then the person that wins or the person that like doesn't have to pay, they tip, so you get a little bit.
Nice.
Anyways, it was like $100 lunch, so no big deal. So we get into Vegas 10 p.m. on Monday, Vegas time, which is 24 hours after we left, but we gained 2 hours. And so it basically took us 26 hours of driving, but we gained 2 hours. So we were there 24 hours later.
Nice.
Went to sleep, woke up, checked in at the Wynn, woke up, had lunch, tournament started. I was in day 1F, the last flight, started at noon. Vegas time, I rolled in there about 2 o'clock, maybe 2:30. So they were on their first break. It was about an hour wait in line. And that was me being in the VIP line.
And that was to register, correct?
To register, yeah. And now there's just,
I will,
you know,
say the only time it's, the only time it's probably bad to be a 7-star or like a VIP member at a casino is during the main event. Cause I feel like a lot of players, it's almost like it's not an advantage with 7,000 guys in a room and gals. It's difficult to like, right? Like, you see what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I was maybe like 25th in line in the VIP area, where I was maybe like 100th in line.
So it is a benefit. Take it back.
It definitely is a benefit, but it was because there was
normally,
like three or four tournaments.
Normally, it's a lot smaller, like ratio, right?
Yeah, like when I went to the Caesars buffet and went to the Diamond, I like went from being 71st in line to second.
Nice.
You know, because, you know, not many people in the casino, you're much more. Right. But in a 10K buy-in, there's a lot of you guys. A
lot of difference. A lot of difference.
So you want to just start rolling in with some, you want to just go through the whole experience day by day?
You bought in. It's the first break. You're going down. You sit down at the table.
Well, hold on. I want to first say something that my inside information said that you can use some on a credit card and some with cash. So I'm like, all right, sweet. So now I'm looking at my Apple credit card. I'm like, how much can I not pay in cash right now? Because that'd be great. Because I only brought like 20K with me. So not only, but when you're going to put 10,000 up for a tournament, you're going to be there all week.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, I got 4,000 on my Apple card. So I'm going to just do 6,000 cash, 4,000 tournament. Walk up. They're like, let me see your vaccine. Here it is. Got that all registered for. She's like, how are you paying? I'm like, I'm going to do 6,000 here, 4,000 here. She's like, oh, well, we'll take card or cash, but it's got to be all.
One or the other.
Right. I was like, oh, well, I guess you're getting cash then. So I opened up my backpack and count another 4,000. A little tilted about that right off the bat. But anyway, so just pony off.
Do you think it's safer to bankroll? Do you think it's safer to put it in the hotel room in the safe or just to carry it with you the whole time?
I just carried it with me all the times.
Yeah. I don't know which one's better.
I don't know. A little bit of both. For Allison to play PLO while I was grinding.
I will say, gambler's tip, if you're not doing this, you should. You should have two different wads of money in your pocket. Like, so that way, God forbid, you were ever robbed, you could reach in your pocket and give them a portion of your stack and then still have some money in your other pocket. If the guy checks your pockets, you're shit out of luck anyways. But at least give them half. Don't have it all in one pocket. So anyways, mix it up into pockets.
So I honestly was like pretty like excited, nervous. Like, you know, I had no idea where I was going. Yeah. I didn't even know what room I was in. Like,
I would be intimidated.
Todd was there and was like, hey, man, you're over here. Like, I was like, all right, cool. Good luck, blah, blah, blah. So I walk up to my table. Like, I hadn't even, like, taken a picture of my ticket yet, you know, like, taken a picture of my starting stack, like, texted the group chat, like, hey, we're going to get started.
We're ready.
Like, you know, anything like that. I just walk up to the table. Dealer's like, all right, you're in the big blind. And they were at 100, 200 with a 200 big blind annie. So
what's the starting stack in the main event?
60K.
60,000. Damn. Okay. So you're at 100, 200. Go ahead.
I think they played 100, 100 with a 100 and then went on break. And then I was like halfway through the second level, which was 100, 200 with a 200. Walk into the big blind, post my 200 big blind, $200 big blind ante, get dealt the Jack 10 offsuit, the first hand.
And, it's not I'm not going to lie. It's not a terrible first hand to get in your.
No, not a terrible first hand, but you know, you're in the big. You're in the blinds and, you know, it's firsthand and whatever. So, like, I'm sitting down. I'm actually kind of nervous. I know nobody. They've been playing for two hours. They got some.
It's nerve-wracking.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like, actually,
it's the
like,
main event.
I know. And I've never really felt that way before. Like, I mean, I've played bigger pots where I've just, like, lost and laughed, you know. Yeah. But, like, it was just something different about, like, how many people were there. And you walk past the final table in that whole production area. And there's cameras and there's, you know.
News reporters.
The actual like feeling in the room is just like different. It's like Christmas morning almost. Like it's weird. So I sit down, Jack 10 off. Dude raises like, you know, the standard like 425, like double plus one, like a double plus a chip. Like folds to me. I'm like, all right, well, here we go. I gotta gonna call 225 more and defend my big blind here with the Jack 10. Now this guy only had about 9,800 to like start the hand.
And, how do you lose 50,000 in chips in the first 2 hours of play? I don't know, but go ahead.
I don't know. So, anyways, we're not going to be able to go through all these hands this slowly. But basically, I flopped a jack. I checked, he bet, and I called. And the turn came another low card, and I checked, and he bet the turn. And I called, and then the river came, and he shoved. And I was like, wow, I mean, it's a pretty good run out. And the turn brought clubs, and then the river bricked out. And, like, he's just all in on the river. And I thought about for a second. I'm like, I mean, sure, I lose the aces and kings and queens here. And I was kind of thinking exactly what you were thinking. Like, how's this guy lose 50,000 already?
No, and, he's a mop.
You know, he kind of looked a little moppy. Like, I mean, to be honest, like, I don't know. Like, you know, I just sat down. Like, literally, I have no, and I'm just, this guy's all in, my first hand. I'm like, you know, screw it. I call. He shows ace, king of clubs for ace high and just knock a guy out the first hand up to 70,000.
So the first hand you sit down in your big blind, you defend with jack 10 and just
flop a jack, call
you
out,
stack
call
off
threes.
A guy?
No, he stacked off with
you
ace.
You stacked
high.
A guy?
Yeah, correct.
Nice. I'm getting there. 2 years into this podcast, I'll finally figure out what it means.
My immediate joke was I stacked the guy, he leaves, seat open, table, blah, blah, blah. I was like, there's not $2,500 bounties in this thing. My joke to loosen up the table. Everyone laughs.
Because now you're like this wild person who just sat down, bust a player, calls with just a jack, and it's like, whatever. Welcome to the table. I think that gets you a little bit of respect.
A little bit.
I'm impressed.
Kind of soothed all of the nerves kind of instantly.
Nice.
And,
I think it's great.
So that was, I literally sat down and now I'm texting the group chat. I'm like, just sat down, just knocked the guy out. Sorry, I don't have a picture of my starting stack, but here's a $70,000 picture and we're going to go from there. And everyone's, instantly just like, blah, blah, blah. This is great.
What a cool start. Yeah.
Pretty cool start.
I would
agree. So now, to just fast forward, going through my day one, my table draw, looking back on it, pretty good. They obviously can't look up the players, so you don't really know. Like, you can look up the players on days two and going on that we ended up doing.
Because you get your table seats and the players that are at
your table.
You see Negreanu doing that at obviously he does it when he gets closer to like final tables and stuff. I'm sure he does it for the main event too, but like once they're in the money and things, like then they're looking more at that table draw and figuring out like who's a legitimate player and who's just whatever's,
So I'll give a shout out to Ice Hayes and Eric for being I'd wake up every morning. And if it's 10 a.m. Vegas, I guess that's noon here, but they already had my whole table researched. Hey, this guy's good. This guy, look for him. Oh, this lady, she's not so good. She's going to be the fish and blah, 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 blah. And so they kind of had everything broken down for me by the time I woke up the next morning.
Yeah.
So I know we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. So let me just go continue on with day one. So there was a lady who, ended up qualifying from a GG poker free roll or through the app, and she was just all pumped to be there and was with her friends, and she was kind of clearly the weaker player. I would consider her not even a CCG $100 deep stack player.
Ooh.
She's maybe she called a big three bet with ace seven and then got it in on ace five deuce, and the guy just had ace queen. She just rivered a seven, knocked the guy out. And she kind of fast forwarding past dinner break was the table captain. She was in the five seat. I was in the seven seat. So her bun was my big one. She was stealing it over and over and over again. And, if you three bet her, she's just calling and then just no fear, just betting flops. And kind of was playing, free rolly. I'm just happy to be here poker. And then she ran up a little bit of a stack and then she definitely kept the pedal to the metal. And I was kind of I'm going to get this lady. I need to get this lady. This is clearly, everybody's trying to get her, but it kind of worked out for me that I was her blind steal, which means I did have to play hands out of position against her because she's trying to steal my blind from the button and the cutoff and stuff.
Right.
But I was comfortable enough to be like, all right, I can play hands out of position against her and, let her do some things. And going through my notes here, the first hand I played with her was after dinner break, the first big plot, and call with the ace, deuce of clubs, comes jack, seven, deuce. She bets, I call, turns an ace. So now I got top and bottom, two pair. She bets again and I call, and then the river is a king, and she bets again and I call, and she just flops a set of jacks. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, nice hand. So I was like, oh, this kind of didn't go as planned.
Right.
So
you thought she was a wild person just pushing around people, and as it turned out, no, occasionally she has a hand.
Yep, she had a hand. So looking at my update, I was down to 25K by dinner break.
I remember that.
Down to 25K. So, I got everybody saying it's fine. And for you guys reference, we're coming back from dinner break at 200, 400. So you still got 75 bigs or whatever that is. I don't, can't even count that high, but still got plenty of bigs. We're all fine. So then I'm just chilling. and I get all the way down to about 15K. And I do end up getting in my 15K all in preflop, kings against ace king, and doubling up to 30.
You had kings. You know,
I had kings. She had she being the other lady at the table, not the crazy lady, doubled me. She had ace king. Guy to my right's like, oh, I folded an ace. I'm like, oh, you got two outs then. And I hold. And so now I'm like, okay, back to 30. We're fine. You know, this is about the fourth level on the day one. You know, got to just get through level five levels a day in your bag. You know, then scrolling.
So it's through. 10 hours a day plus breaks after every level?
Plus three, yeah, two-hour level and a 20-minute break. Two-hour level, 20-minute break. Two-hour level, 75-minute dinner break. Then level four for 2 hours and a 20-minute break, and then level five for 2 hours, and you're done. So 10 hours of play, and then three 20-minute breaks and a 75-minute break.
So that's like 12 hours and 15 minutes. Yeah.
So
that's a long-ass day. So you're, and you basically start at noon and roll till midnight every night.
And then, well, that was just day one. Then
I got you. So day one.
The break turned into 25 minutes, yes. But noon to mid to 12:15.
On your day one, how many times were you all in where you're – The life was on the dream was on the line
twice.
Okay, and once was with
kings against ace king.
Okay, and obviously you had kings,
and we doubled, and that put me at 30K, and then I dwindled all the way down to about 10K.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
and 10K, and then the last level of day one was 200-500, I believe, which is just 250-500, but there's no greens in play. So 200. Right.
People always freak out about that, and I was like, "Why do you not understand?" It's because there are no green chips. Like, it's a better and it's a better deal. Like, anyways, right. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you know, now at this point, the group chat is saying, "Hey, Kenny, tell him this isn't golf. He needs to realize that going up is good." And you know, they're kind of trolling me and blah 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 blah. So I get down to 10K. I do remember picking up ace jack on the button, shoving, and everybody folding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just chilling with like literally like four chips. I got 2 5Ks and 2 1Ks. And I'm sending my pictures to the group chat like, this isn't going so hot. So with about 40 minutes left in day one, a guy raised under the gun, and now he was tight, solid, you know, just never getting out of line, always showing down high cards, good cards. Tight guy raises under the gun. Three people call, and I got pocket threes in the big blind. And I look down, and I'm kind of like, well, shit, you know, I got 20 bigs. I got 20 big blinds. This is kind of a good spot in terms of the dead money. Sure, this guy is kind of tight and raised under the gun, so he's going to show up with, you know, tens plus a lot of the time,
mm-hmm.
but I can't pass up.
You're hoping at that point you're up against ace king or ace queen.
Correct.
Because if you're not, you're spot where you're really upside down. Yeah. I got you though. Now, before you answer, because I want to interject a couple times here. One, being that it's near the end of day one and it's like, do I want to really do the whole start over tomorrow? Was that a factor as well? Like, be honest.
I don't think that was so much a factor. It was the three people that called that were the dead money. That was kind of like.
No, that's a big enticement. Okay. So
it really is, because that's an extra. If he made it 2.25 big blinds, that's an extra seven bigs out there.
No, that's good.
It's not my 20 bigs to win 40. It's my 20 bigs to win 47.
Yeah. No, that's true. You know? All right. So you shove it in.
I shove it in there, all in there with pocket threes.
Did you do like the Brandon pause? Did you like think about it? Like how long?
I did like a little 6 second pause every single hand before I acted. Nothing crazy, nothing long, but it was basically like look down at seven deuce, count to five, fold. Look down at pocket kings,
which we've talked about in other episodes. Rings. How that's something that you really need to do, and it's something I never do.
It comes into play later. I'll let you know.
But, okay. Go ahead.
So then the guy that opened is like literally with three people behind. He's like, I'll give you some action. Calls 10,000. And he maybe had like 70 or 80. You know, he was fine. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'll give you action. And it just goes muck, muck, muck really quick. He flips over the king, queen of clubs.
So he was really trying to make a mover a little bit. And
king, queen of clubs is probably like the bottom of his under the gun opening range. You know, he hit the bottom and then he kind of figured the same thing. I'll gamble with him. Maybe he's probably a 60-40. He probably really doesn't have ace, king, or ace, queen here too often. How bad a shape can I really be in? He really said it best. He's like, I'll give you some action. Kind of gambling. I'm like, okay, cool. So need to win a race.
I mean, honestly, that's what you're, I mean, you're looking correct. For that right there. I mean, that's your best case scenario.
I'm happy to race for all my chips here. I got 10,000
right.
from 60K.
And you're getting, start. You got all that dead money in play too.
Yep. The great flop of queen 5-4. flops a queen. And then the turn was a 7, giving me a gut shot to a straight, adding me some more outs. And I didn't like pull the whole stand up, good game, blah, blah, blah thing. I just was just sat there watching. And the river was an ace and I'm out. And I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. River was a 3.
River was a 3.
And the river was a 3. And like I was like, oh my gosh. So we did get it all in 50-50. I did win the race the fun way though, by him out flopping me and then me rivering the set. And I kind of just like, I can't believe it actually happened in the main event, you know? I mean, like that never happens. It doesn't even happen in the $120 deep stack, let alone in the 10K. So double up to, you know, 25. And then this was, you know, there's a half hour left in the end of day one. And then gets down to the 10 minutes left in the level. And the way that they do it is once the clock hits 10 minutes, they deal 4 more hands and you're done for the day.
Wait, run that by me again.
So whenever there's 10 minutes left in the day.
Oh, of the day. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking they do that every level. That sounds goofy as shit. I got you.
End of the day, they say, dealers, finish the hand you're on and deal 4 more and then we're done. Bagging.
That's it.
So I remember the first hand. Now, these 4 hands kind of end up being pretty crucial since I win all 4 of them.
Wait, what? So you double, you more than double up. Okay,
so
go ahead. Keep going.
Half hour left. And then 20 minutes goes by, maybe in orbit.
And they literally give you the last hand call, like the last hand deal. There's 4 hands left.
4 hands left.
All right,
first
rip
hand.
It, rip it. Rip it.
First hand.
Day one.
I'll go quickly.
Wait, and this is the last day one of the 2021. WSLP main event.
Yeah,
because you played the last.
Actually, a day 2 playing with.
Correct. I knew that because I was weirded about that because then we were texting back and forth, but about like I'm like, was his day 2 today or did they still have other day 2s?
Day 2 was running while the last.
I was very confused.
They added a couple.
The first halves were still playing. Okay, go ahead. Four hands left.
First hand, crazy lady opens. She's under the gun. She opens and then I 3-bet with ace king, and she just calls. And then the flop is Jack 10 something, Jack 10 low card, 2 diamonds. I have the King of Diamonds in my hand. She leads into me, which she's been doing all day. She leads into me, and I call because I got a gutter ball. I got a couple overs. She's kind of crazy. I got some chips to play with. I call. Turn is like the 6 of diamonds. The Jack of Diamonds. So it was Jack 10 Deuce, 10 Deuce of Diamonds, mm-hmm. Turn Jack of Diamonds. So now the board pairs. But now it gives me the King High flush draw with a four card flush. She checks. I bet small trying to take it away. I'm like, well, she doesn't probably have. And, you know, the sizings in the WSOP are really weird in tournaments in general. I was really had a hard time getting used to, like, the down bets and, you know, people making it 1,000 and then 2 people calling. So there's 3,000 in the pot. And then their C bet was, like, 700. And it's, like, less than what, you know, the down bets. And, like, I had to get used to that. And, like, you know, everyone's just getting such a good price. And that's a whole another discussion. Anyways, so I bet the turn after she texted me and tried to take the lead in the pot. And I didn't put her on a jack, didn't put her on a flush. She's been firing all that stuff. I'm just going to try and take down the pot right now with ace king high. She calls. River is like the 7 of diamonds, 4 diamonds now. There's maybe like 10K in the pot. She bets 6,500 on the river. I check my hand, make sure I have the king high diamonds. I do. I put in the quick call, and she shows king 9 of hearts. Which is nothing. She had the same gutter ball I had, except for if she hit the queen, she probably would have got stacked or doubled me up because she would have made a straight. So she had king high, bluffing. And I had a king high flush. So scoop that pot. Next hand, I have kings, raise, she calls. I remember it being like an 8-deuce-deuce flop. I checked the flop, you know, to show some deception and trapping and make it look like I have ace high and miss the board. She checks back, and then I bet the turn. The turn was like, I don't know, another non, you know, 8-deuce-deuce jack, you know, nothing. And then I bet the turn, she calls, and then the river comes a brick. I bet 6,000 on the river, she calls, kings are good. So now I've just taken, you know, 20,000 from her in the next, in these hands. Next hand, now I'm in the blinds. I'm the big blind, and she opens the button, and I have ace jack of clubs, and I 3-bet, and she folds. And then the last hand of the night is ace 5 off, and it folds to me all the way in the small blind. I limp the ace. He raises. I call. Flops an ace high board, like literally ace 9-4. I flop an ace. Check, check. Turn, I check again. He bets. I call. River, check, check. I'm good with an ace. Scoop all four pots. Bag 55K going into day two. And that's, wow. Yeah, so just literally
you went from life support with 30 minutes left in day one thinking, I can't believe I couldn't even make it to day two, to having just
over 100 bigs.
A sicko run out on the
to
last.
To basically go back to starting stack, which I've never been more thrilled about.
Wow, that's...
So I bet, yeah, bagged 55K, picked up ace king, kings, ace jack, ace five off, scooped all four pots.
I love it. We're going to take a little break, everybody. That was day one of the main event, Brandon action. You won't have to wait very long. Don't everybody freak out at a second here. We're going to get the rest of Brandon's day two, three, and four. How many days did we make it?
Well, don't spoil it.
Okay. Hey, good narrative there, Brando. Don't spoil it, Kenny. We're going to wait. But again, thank you so much for listening to episode 56 of The Overlay. Big shout out, as always, to CCG Poker and myself, because I'm awesome. Thank you, Brandon, for taking the time to, you know, to go over this. A lot of us will never experience the main event, and I think it's incredible that you went and that you actually took the time. I was very proud of you, so I want to say, not about your play, not about how things end up, which you'll have to wait until next week to hear, and it won't even be next week. I'll probably do it like on Monday or something. I'm going to release this episode on Wednesday, so it won't be too long. You're going to have to wait a couple of days to hear how the Brandon saga ends, or just go to our Twitter page. And I think it'll be great, and I'm excited about it. But I wanted to say I was super proud of you for spending so much time on social media and giving the other players the sweat of being in the main event, because that's not something everybody's going to experience. So that was cool. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. It actually, before we go, it actually was really intense, because the 20-minute break seemed like so long, you know, like, you know, they're only timing. But it's a 12-minute, like, line to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're running to get in line, and then by that time it's over, you're kind of like back in your seats, and it all just happens in a flash. And, you know, the dinner breaks seem like, oh, 75 minutes, but you got to remember, every restaurant in the Rio
is everybody's so, like, everywhere's mocked.
I had a rental car and was like driving back to the Wynn to meet Allison for dinner somewhere else, because that was more efficient, and like I actually
faster.
If she's already seated and orders my meal,
right,
I can just kind of show up to it's a meal better. it really is.
Well, it's funny, so you always see like on social media during the WSOP, especially the main event, when it's on dinner breaks and shit, and you see like the wild videos of people like, here's a line for the bathroom, and here's dinner break at the Rio during day two.
Was mobbed.
It's nuts. It's awesome. I mean, what an experience to have. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. That's Main Event Brandon, part one. We're going to wrap it up next week with part two, episode 57. Thank you, as always, for listening, and thank you, Brandon, for sharing this cool-ass story with us. We will see
for
you
sure
next week for the conclusion of the WSOP and Brandon.